Greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we come to message number 4, where we shall focus on how to be a Christian husband. After we have touched on the role of the Christian wife, now we shall focus on the Christian husband. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to verse 33. Let me read to you from God's word. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Again, like the Christian wife, there are many characteristics that God could highlight of what a good Christian husband ought to be. But the Lord singled out one. Just as the greatest weakness in the Christian wife in any home is a desire to usurp the authority, this is man's greatest weakness in marriage. The greatest weakness in man is the lust of the flesh. There are so many examples in the Bible of men having more than one wife that we can't even number them. The greatest champion, of course, was none other than King Solomon, who had 1,000 women plus 700 wives and 300 concubines. This is man's greatest weakness, where he will claim to be able to love more than one woman at the same time. And that is usually the problem with adultery. It is not true, of course, that wives do not commit adultery. That is also true, but not as dominant as the husband committing adultery. Therefore, God wants every Christian husband to take note of your weakness. Because the moment you recognize your weakness, you become more conscious of that weakness and not let that weakness cripple and destroy your marriage. Because it will. So you will take every precaution to make sure that you do not succumb to this weakness. I do not know how to swim. I did try to learn. My friend during university days, he was a very good swimmer. He tried to teach me. And we went to the swimming pool and we spent hours in the swimming pool. And he would teach me how to float, how to swim using all kinds of strokes. And so the one that he thought that I could at least succeed was the breaststroke. And so we just simply try. And in order for the breaststroke to work, the coordination between the hand and the feet must be one. If it does not coordinate, when your hand moves and your feet doesn't move, only your hand moves, the whole body remains
where it is, it doesn't move. When the hand is supposed to move and the feet is stationary, or the other way around, the body will just simply stay still, even though there may appear to be a lot of movement. Now, that was my struggle, coordination. And no matter how I tried to the point of exhaustion and cramping. And so I know I could not swim. And then when I got married, when I have my own children, so once in a while, we'll bring our children to the swimming pool. And so at first, of course, only the wading pool where it is just so shallow, we just sit into the wading pool and play with our children. And as they grow older and older, and when they begin to learn how to swim, we send them for swimming lessons to make sure that they learn how to swim. Then as they got older into the upper primary, even in the lower primary, they were allowed to go to the main pool. And so when they are able to swim on their own without the float, and when they had the float, I make sure that when I watch them and I play with them, my feet always touch the ground. But once when they are able to swim, and they can swim from one end to the other end of the length of the pool, when I couldn't, and I want to swim with them, and sometimes we try to race together, of course I will cheat. I will pull them back because I don't have their speed, I don't have their ability. But I make sure that I never swim in the middle of the pool. I always swim on the edge of the pool, either the left side or the extreme right side. Because I know that I cannot reach from one end to the other end of the pool. I do not know how to tread water. And so if I'm in the middle of the pool and I know I cannot complete from one end to the other end, I will stop halfway to breathe. And I know that once I cross the middle part of the swimming pool, my feet will not touch ground anymore. And I will be in trouble if I stop in the middle where my feet could not touch ground. And so I will always swim to the extreme left or right so that when I stop halfway, I will cling to the edge. And so I will tell my children that Daddy cannot begin because when I look at the edges, there are too many people. I calculated how much I can do and how much distance I will travel before I need to stop. And if there are a cluster of people at that particular spot where I'm supposed to stop, I will wait for them to clear off first. So I will plan and I will strategize to make sure that I don't drown, because it's very embarrassing to be drowned, to be drowning and then to be pulled out of the swimming pool and then they have to do some form of resuscitation. And I don't want to frighten my wife and my children too. And so I take every precaution. And so if I am walking in the streets and then I see someone inside the canal that is overflowing and the person is shouting for help, I'm not going to jump in. They will have two persons to save if I were to jump in. I will shout together with him for someone to do something, at least someone who knows how to swim. I don't. And then when I read in the papers of people drowning and then they interview the parents or the family members and time again they will say, oh, my son, my daughter, oh, they are very strong swimmers. And they drown. You know how many times you have to read that kind of sad, still and very tragic comment? Strong swimmers, because of their strength and their ability to swim very well, they were overconfident. They fail to realize that a strong swimmer in a swimming pool where there are no undercurrent is not the same as a strong swimming pool in the ocean or in a fast-flowing, overflowing canal. But they dive in because they are a strong swimmer. They are very confident that they will not drown. But sadly, they drowned. If you think that you do not have this problem of loving one woman at one time, you're disagreeing with the Lord. It's only a matter of time you're going to succumb because you will not take the necessary precaution to protect yourself, to stay away from this very deadly weakness that is found in every man. And just because you are married, just because you love your wife very much, is not going to save you. Because there will be moments in your life where you don't feel very loving toward your wife, especially when you're quarreling, when you're arguing. And that's where the problem may begin. You go to work, you meet some very nice colleagues of the other sex who may already have some feelings for you that are hidden, that you are not aware of. And then you begin to pour out your family sorrows, your problem with your wife, with them, with her. And then one thing will lead to another. It may not begin with the intention of adultery. It may begin on a very innocuous and innocent sharing, you may call it. And you feel that she is very, very comfortable to speak with, very understanding, even more understanding than your wife. And so you begin to reason. And then feelings begin to arise. And then a comparison between her and your wife. And then the next step would be adultery. And all because you think that you are fine, you will not succumb, you are different from other men. You are not. This is our weakness, and the Lord who made us, who created us, He knows us better than we know ourselves in this regards. And so the Lord is very clear. Husbands, love your wives. The same force that God used to the wife. Submit, present imperative. Christian husband, it's only for Christian. An unbelieving Christian, unbelieving husband will not have the power to do so because they don't have the indwelling of the Spirit of God and they do not have this love, because the love that is used here as a command in the continuous sense where you must never stop loving is the agape love. And this agape love is a love that comes from heaven. It is not of this earth. This earth only has phileo love, a love that is conditional. I love my wife. She's my wife. This is the kind of love that cannot help you to love your enemies. It's conditioned. I love my children. Conditioned, my children. This agape love is unconditional. And not only that, it is also sacrificial. That love of the world is conditional. Then only you'll be sacrificial. I love my children. I sacrifice for my children. I sacrifice for my wife. But I'm not going to sacrifice for strangers. I'm not going to sacrifice for people that I do not know. I'm not going to sacrifice for people that hate me. But this love is unconditional. And this love, God says, I have placed in your heart the moment you became a Christian. Romans 5:5. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. When? The moment you were born again. This was the love of God that God Himself demonstrated when Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father because of His unconditional sacrificial love for sinners such as ourselves. And this love, God says, will be given to everyone who is born again in Christ. And God said to every Christian husband, this is the only love that I want you to exercise in relation to your wife. So regardless of her outward appearance, regardless of her behavior or conduct, did not say Christian wife, did not say Christian good wife, obedient wife, no. As long as she is your wife. Of course, if you are already a Christian, you look for a Christian girl to marry. Just like for the Christian wives, you may be married as unbelievers and then you become a Christian wife. And so likewise, you may be married as an unbeliever, now you become a Christian husband. And your wife is not a believer. But the Bible says you still have to love her unconditionally this time, sacrificially this time, with this agape love. Now that you have, you love her regardless of whether she can cook or cannot cook. You love her whether she has Alzheimer's or she does not have. You love her because she's your wife. That's it. That's it. It is very tragic when the husband put the wife in a state and condition of uncertainty, whereby she is very fearful of being replaced or rejected. And so if the husband is very rich, and the husband still have this youthful look, there are many, many younger girls who are prepared to throw themselves at his feet. And so the wife will be very nervous and frightened that she might maintain her youthful zeal, youthfulness. And so she'll go to all kinds of doctors to have all kinds of injection, to remove all wrinkles, surgery, whatever it takes to keep my youthful look in order that my husband will not take his eyes off me and be attracted and be seduced by younger girls. It is a very, very sad state of insecurity that the husband had put their wives into, and not let the wife know that I will love you unconditionally and sacrificially. Please, do not feel insecure. Do not feel as if I will take my eyes off you. There will be no one else but you, my love. That is what the Lord says to the Christian husband. And so in the case of the role of the Christian wife, the role of submission, the role of the Christian husband is the rule of love. The rule of love, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That is the love that you must have for your wife. And let her know that. That you are prepared to do anything to protect her, to keep her safe, not just physically, but providing her a very big house with high walls and electric fence. None of these things. It's not just that. Sure, physical protection is included, but also emotional, mental, and above all else, spiritual. Protect her physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Don't let her feel insecure in this relationship that she has with you as your wife. That's basically it. Because that's how the church must feel toward her Savior. And if any Christian feels insecure in his salvation in Christ, it's because of his lack of knowledge. Because the Lord Jesus Christ already revealed to us in the Holy Scripture that the moment you are truly born again, you are saved in my hand and that of my Heavenly Father. No one can snatch you out of my all-powerful hand. You can never lose your salvation. In other words, you will never lose my love for you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. That's God's assurance and guarantee, Romans 8. And that is a kind of assurance that we must give to our wives as a Christian husband. And you know, the only way you could do that is to make sure that your love for Christ is healthy and strong. That is why the Christian wife must encourage the husband to always love the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. Encourage him to join Bible studies. Encourage him to attend prayer meetings, to pray for the church and to pray for the family. Encourage him to bring the family to end the Lord's Day in God's house. Encourage him to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of his life. Because the love that he has for the Lord Jesus Christ will be the only way that he can love you the way that Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. The moment he replaced God with a love for gold, you will see this. He becomes impatient. He becomes more and more aloof. He becomes very, very short-tempered. And he becomes long-faced, sad and despondent, dejected. And he comes home. You find that he murmurs. He has lost the joy of salvation. And you must pray for him. You must pray for the right time to encourage him and to speak with him and to him. Because a Christian husband who loves you the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church, he will want you to be like this, because this is the rule of love with this aim or goal in mind, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now that's how the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church, and this is how he will clean the church, sanctify the church, help the church to become more and more like Christ. And this is what the husband must do to help the wife become more and more like Christ. Because the father used to do that when he brought the daughter up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. After salvation, he continues to encourage the daughter to do all things spiritual, to join fellowships, to attend church faithfully, to study God's word, to do her quiet time. Now that you are the one in charge, the head over her life, that spiritual responsibility has now been put upon your shoulders. That has not ceased in her life. And so you must encourage her. And you cannot do that if you do not know the word of God yourself, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that's what the husband must do. If the wife is not a believer, the first thing the Christian husband must do is to let the wife see the transformation in your life. How loving you are, how patient you are, how long-suffering you are, how caring you are, how considerate you have become. Let her see how different you are, how wonderful a husband you are, that she might even say to you one day out of the blue, "What happened to my husband? Who are you?" "But I like the new you. I like my new husband." Let her say that to you, about you. Because you are truly a new husband, not outwardly, of course, inwardly. Because you are new in Christ. The old man with the old sinful nature is gone. Now you're a new person in Christ. You have a new nature in Christ, a godly nature. And therefore you now bear godly characteristics. Your life is now holy, when before it was carnal, sinful, evil, wicked, selfish. But now you are Christ-like, caring, considerate. And the wife will surely see the difference, because she would know the old person. Let her see the new. Let her come to the Savior. And once that has happened, then help her to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that one day you will present her before God, holy and without blemish. And that can only happen through the powerful cleansing of the word. No other way. And in order for that to happen, to present your wife one day holy and without blemish means without blemish, blameless. Help her to become more and more like Christ. And to do that, husbands, what is your Bible study program like? That's the key. Just having a desire to be a Christian husband is not going to make you a Christian husband. And a Christian husband is more than just someone who is born again. A Christian husband is someone who will help the wife to become more and more like Christ from the day that she was given to you by her father. She must now mature and become more spiritual than on the day of holy matrimony. And if her spiritual well-being has declined from the day of a holy matrimony, then you have failed her father and you have failed her as well, and you have definitely failed the Lord as a Christian husband. If you only provide for her physical well-being, buying her all those expensive stuff, putting her into a very big and nice, comfortable home, but all you have inside the home are all things material, The presence of Christ is absent. The rule of the book, the Bible, is not present. You only have the rule of carnality, and people come to the home, they only experience tension and strife, and not peace and Christ.
You failed. You failed her, and you failed the Lord. Badly. You need to study God's word. And you need to encourage your wife to study God's word. And you need to encourage your children to study God's word. And none of that would happen if you do not set a good example yourself. So where is the priority in your life in the study of God's word? That's key, the key. And any godly wife would desire first and foremost one thing from the husband, godliness. And the husband cannot be godly at all if he does not grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge, they are partners. Siamese twins cannot be separated. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot have God's grace, which means God's blessings upon blessings, without the word of God. And with the word of God, without obedience, there is no grace. It's just legalism, head knowledge. The two must go together in order for it to be a blessing to you and to your wife and family. And that's why you need to study and know God's word, dear husband. And every young man who wants to get married, take heed and take note. Be a good student of God's word where you are right now as a young person. And then once you get married, you're going to be encumbered with a lot of worldly responsibilities. The cares of the world, the Bible describes it in Matthew 13. And then you're going to think that your solution is riches. And so the Lord's warning is, be very, very wary of the deceitfulness of riches. Because riches will now slowly show its ugly head like a serpent, but made of gold and smiling, very fragrant looking, smelling. And then it will tell you, I will be your solution. You don't have enough money to pay for your mortgage for your new home. You work hard, I will help you solve that problem. Your problem will be solved with me, money, right? That's what you need. Most of the things you buy, they are on higher purchase. So you need more money. Money will solve your problem, will ease all your debt, will clear all your debt. And so the harder you work, the more money you get. And so this is the voice that you're going to hear very loudly and clearly, which was not possible where you did not need to bother yourself when you were just a student, where you have no financial responsibility or burden at all. That voice had already been shouting from the rooftop in the world. But because you are just a student, only your mom and your dad heard that voice. You didn't hear it. Your only concern was how to study and improve on your GPA, your grades. But once you get married as a young family, this will be the voice that will now grab your attention. You now hear that voice very loudly. Don't let it drown out the voice of your Savior. It will be drowned out when you close your Bible and refuse to open it and read it with a heart of obedience. And you cannot love your wife without loving your Lord. And you cannot love your Lord who is a stranger to you. And if all you know about him is John 3:16, your love for him will be as shallow as a one-inch puddle after a rainfall. That's it. It will not be like the depth of the deepest ocean. That is the kind of love that we all must have, and that cannot come without the knowledge of who your Savior is. And you can't love someone that you are ignorant of. Once you're ignorant of him, the danger is you're going to make him
according to your own image. And when you love the Jesus Christ of your own making, of your own image, it will be another Christ that is a concoction of the devil. That's why it is so important for you to study God's word and to know God's word in order to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Because what the Lord did was to cleanse and to wash the church with the word, so that at the end of it, the church will be holy and without blemish. And God says, this is how you must be to your wife. Sanctify her by the word, so that she will one day be presented before the Lord as holy and without blemish. That is the rule of love. And the manner of love, verse 28 to verse 30. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. And so the manner of love is, love your wife as your own bodies. Now what does that mean? Love your wives as your own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Because no man in their right mind, okay, we're not talking about men who are not normal. We are talking about men who are normal, right, with the right mind. Now, every one of us want to be healthy. We exercise to keep healthy. And we are not healthy, unhealthy, we exercise to become healthy. We eat carefully. If we are overweight, we try to eat better in order to become healthy. If you're already healthy, you want to maintain your healthiness. You eat and drink properly. You're very careful. You do everything. You need to exercise. You need to sleep well. You take every precaution in order to feel good and to be healthy, because it's a very wonderful feeling to be healthy. You don't want to be sickly. You don't want to be tired after every five steps. You don't want to be overweight, whereby you walk around with a load on your body that you cannot put aside. You know what's it like to be overweight? When your body and your muscle mass is not meant to carry 20 kilograms all the time. When we were in the army, we all had to go through route marches. Route marches means you put on your full uniform with your rifle and all the stuff that you need to carry, with your webbing and all the rest, with your water bottle, your magazine pouches for your extra magazine. And then on top of that, they force you to carry a full pack. And they will tell you what are the items must be found in the full pack. Of course, some of the men will want to play cheat. They want to cheat, not play cheat, they just want to cheat. So they want to make the full pack look full. And so some of them will put in pillows. You know pillows? Very light, but it makes it look full. And so even before the route march begins, we will make sure that we check, telling all the men, put your full pack in front of you, unpack it, let us inspect. So they know there will be an inspection, and so they will not dare to try. And so we make sure that the inspection would also include every single item that have been told to pack in, so that everybody will carry the same load. And so with this load, the first kilometer or so may not seem so bad. But after 10 kilometers, after 15 kilometers, after 20 kilometers, you want to unload it. You can't wait to sit down and rest to unload that burden. And once you unload it, it could be maybe only 10 kg or slightly more. But a person who is overweight by 20 kg, that 20 kg doesn't get unloaded at all. He carries it with him the moment he wakes up and gets out of bed, and everywhere he goes, he will be carrying the 20 kg. You know how exhausting that is? After a while, he will slow down. He will no longer have the energy and the strength to do what he's about to do. Overloaded, overweight. We all want to be healthy. Nobody wants to be unhealthy. And so the Lord says, just as you care for your body, just as you want your body to be free of pain and to be healthy and good and efficient, have the same want and desire for your wife. Same. Don't hurt her, in other words. You don't deliberately hurt yourself, right? And don't hurt her at all. Care for her. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Have you? Unless you are sick. A Christian husband is not sick. A person who is not a believer is sick all the time because he's an unbeliever with a depraved nature. And so if you hurt your wife and you deliberately hurt your wife and you don't care, then you are very, very sick. Either you are not born again, or your spiritual well-being is so low down and your backsliding is so far down that you are hardly a believer at all. Because you must treat her like your own body. In other words, if you hurt her, you should feel the pain. You know, sometimes when you quarrel with your wife, you say words that are meant to hurt. And so with this manner of love, the Lord wants us to realize that by saying those words, and sometimes we know what those words are usually characterized by absolutes. You never, you always, like these are meant to hurt, because you know it's not true. You know it's not true. Every time, you know it's not every time. Even if it is once, it's no longer every time, isn't it? You may say, most of the time, not every time. But the moment you say, every time, you always, these are absolute terms that are meant to incite anger and make the person feel bad and deliberately target the heart to hurt. And once your wife is hurt by you, do you feel the pain or do you feel glee? You see, I win. That's what the Lord says. Love her just as you want to take care of your own body. No one will ever hate his own flesh to hurt it, right? You want to nourish it. That means you want to bring it to maturity. So help your wife grow to spiritual maturity. You want to cherish it. You want to love it, embrace it, care for it. That's what the meaning of cherish, right? When you cherish something, you gingerly, tenderly, carefully embrace, protect, and take care. And so the Lord says, you do the same. Just as you make sure that you look good, just that you cherish your body to keep it gingerly, to look after it well, well, do the same with your wife. Because your wife is your body. One and the same. So to hurt her is to hurt yourself. So why do you want to hurt yourself? Since you don't want to hurt yourself, why do you want to hurt her? That's the manner of love. A very simple description of the manner of love, yourself. So next time when you quarrel with your wife, think on this. And when you're about to say those words that are meant to plunge that thorn, that sharp words into her heart, think again before you say it. No matter how angry you are, bite your tongue. And so if you say those words and she feels hurt, you should never feel satisfied nor happy. When you see your wife crying, when you see your wife disappointed, when you see your wife disheartened and discouraged, when you see your wife upset, you should be feeling exactly the same way. You should not feel satisfied and happy and distant and removed as if you feel nothing. In other words, her emotional thermometer should be yours the same. If her emotional thermometer is one of joy and happiness and gladness, that should be yours too. If her emotional thermometer is down and discouraged and despondent, that should be yours too. That's what it means by love her as your own bodies. That's what it means. Feel with her. You don't want to be angry and upset. Then why do you want to make her angry and upset? You don't want to feel the pain and the hurt. Then why do you want to feel the pain and hurt her? Why do you do that? You know how many quarrels would have been easily resolved? And so the moment you see her in that state of despondency and hurt and pain, you should rush to her side and apologize. You will not allow pride to stand in the way. Because to see her in that state is to see you yourself in that state. But the problem with us is we don't. That's our problem, isn't it? We see our wives in that state and condition of hurt and pain and despondency. We just go on our own lives as if nothing has happened. When you and I know very well that you and I caused it to happen. And you can do everything and anything right immediately to fix it, but you don't. Because you allow pride to stand in the way. And the Lord said, that is not the love the Lord Jesus Christ has for the church. That's not how you should love your wife. You love your wife, you want her to grow spiritually because you must also grow spiritually, right? You want to grow spiritually, do you not, Christian husband? So in other words, we will know what you are like inside, husband, by just simply looking at your wife. Your wife's spiritual state and condition or lack of it will be a mirror image of you. Do you know that? That is why the Lord gave us the qualification of an elder. The Lord included the household. He must be one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Your house is a mini church where you, Christian husband, is like the pastor. And the Lord says, how do we know whether you qualify to be an elder? Just look at his household. Look at his children. Look at his wife. And you will know. Because the same way that he treats his family, his household, is the same way he's going to care for the church, or lack of it. And therefore, if he doesn't know how to look after the family, even though he may have all the knowledge of the Bible, even though he can preach and teach very well, he is unsuitable to care for my flock as an elder, God says. That is why it is so important for us Christian husbands to understand the manner of our love for our wives. The Lord says, your body, that's it. Plain and simple. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. To make it even more important, she is not just your wife. She is part of the body of Christ as well. Not just your own body, but the body of Christ. So to hurt her, don't just see her as your wife. See her also as part of the body of Christ that the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed with his precious blood. And to hurt her is to hurt Christ as well. Why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ, when he confronted Saul, when he was on his way to Damascus to persecute more Christians, you know what the Lord said to Saul? Why persecutest thou me? Saul was confused. I only persecuted Christian. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ say that I persecuted him? Because we are the body of Christ. And so when the body is hurt, Christ feels the pain. To hurt the body is to hurt Christ. To persecute the body is to persecute Christ. And so here the Lord said to the Christian husband, she is not just your wife. She is also part of the body of Christ. And when you hurt her, you hurt the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you say you love, whom you say is your Lord and your Savior, who suffered and died on the cross for your sin. That's why the Lord says, you love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he gave his life for the church. And you must do so by making sure that your love for the Lord Jesus Christ is with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and with all your mind. And you cannot have that love without a growth in your knowledge of Christ. So keep on studying the Bible with a heart of love and obedience. And that's how you fulfill the rule of love. And then you will also be able to fulfill the manner of love, to love your wife as your own body, because she is to be treated the way that you will treat your own body. Nourish and cherish it. And not only that, she is also the body of Christ that Jesus Christ redeemed with his precious blood. And therefore, to hurt her is to hurt Christ. To care for her is to care for Christ. That's the manner of love. Your own body and Christ's body. That's how you must now look at your wife. See yourself and see Christ. And that you do all your life, as long as you are married. And then finally, the analogy of love to drive home the point. Verse 31 to verse 33. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is what you must do, husband. You know, in Genesis, before the fall, in Genesis 3, in Genesis 2, the Lord already said that. In Genesis 2, let me read to you. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The Lord said the same. Verse 31. Do you know what that means, right? Number one, this was given before there was sin. This was given when the husband and the wife had a beautiful, wonderful, peaceful, perfect union and relationship. And the Lord said this. It's as if the Lord is saying to the Christian husband and the Christian wife, when you fulfill your role, it's as if you're living in paradise. Do you realize that? Because that was spoken and given in paradise before there was sin. Genesis 2. Do you want your home to be like paradise? And this is an instruction for the man. The wife, somehow or other, she has a disposition that when the father gives her away to the husband, in her heart, in her mind, emotionally, everything about her, she has already severed. She will now learn to depend entirely upon her husband now for everything, to take care of her physical, emotional, spiritual, and mental needs, just as she used to do, leaning upon Papa. Now she leaned on her husband. So there is no instruction for her to leave father and mother and cleave unto her husband. She already does that by her submission. But God has to give a command to the husband, for somehow or other, the husband has this problem of leaving and setting up her own home where he is head. Now, of course, this leaving is not physical, because there are instances where the father and the mother of the husband can live in the same house together with the husband and the wife, especially in their old age. It doesn't mean physical. Sometimes physical distance may help, but it doesn't mean literally physical all the time. It simply means that the husband must realize and understand that you are now head of your own house. You are not under the headship of your mom or dad when you used to do before marriage, when you live with them in their home. Your father was the head You listen to them, you submit to them, you obey them. But now that you are married, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and sometimes including physically, but not necessarily physically, you must be independent. And that is why when you look at a man, young ladies, if he is still mommy's boy, still hanging on to mommy, still attached to mommy, then you know that he is not ready to be married. He may be of age, physically, he may be in his 30s or even early 40s. But you look at him emotionally, he is still attached to mommy and daddy. Not ready to leave father and mother and cleave unto you. That means he cannot be the head. He cannot be married. In order to do that, it must be one flesh. Because that's what loving you means, Christian wife. He must love you like he loved his own body, because they are one and the same now. 1 + 1 = 1. That is the union of marriage. And that can only take place if he doesn't run to mommy and daddy all the time, every time when they have a quarrel or misunderstanding. He must be able to make his own independent decision. That is crucial. That's the analogy of love. Departure, leaving, and cleaving. This is a great mystery, the Lord said. But I speak concerning Christ and the church, actually. So this whole passage, where the focus is on the wife submitting, actually he's using the analogy of marriage to teach the church to submit to Christ. And Christ is the head of the church, just like the husband is the head of the church. So actually, instead of using Christ and the church as an analogy to teach us the role of Christian husband and wife, the Lord is telling us, actually, I am using the husband-wife relationship as the illustration for me and the church, not the other way around, which sometimes we tend to think that way, as we emphasize the first few verses from verse 22 onwards. That's the simple inclination. But you realize that Lord Jesus Christ is actually, I'm using the relationship between a Christian wife and a Christian husband to teach the church on how you must relate to me and to reveal to you how I relate to you. I am the head, not the other way around. So please follow the scripture in all areas of your church life. And the Lord wants us to also know how special the husband and wife relationship is. He did not use a parent-child relationship. He did not use a brother and a sister, a brother and a brother, or two best friend relationship. He used this most special and intimate relationship between two human beings, whereby he gave this injunction, only till death do you part. No other human relationship did God ever give this expiry date for a broken relationship. All other relationships you can break off anytime according to your desire. But between a husband and wife, that desire is taken away from you. Only till death do you part. That's the only reason you part, to death. Very important, very special to let us know how special the husband and wife relationship is, that God will use it to pattern it after Christ and his relationship with the church. But nevertheless, the Lord says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, talking to the Christian husband. Nevertheless, even though I use the marriage as an illustration of my relationship with the church, but nevertheless, Christian husband, please also understand this as an instruction for you, how you ought to love your wife. And to every Christian wife, see that you reverence, you fear in the right way your husband by submitting yourself to him, just as the church, out of the fear of the Lord, submit herself to the Lord. And the Christian wife, nevertheless, you submit yourself with fear, fear for the Lord Jesus Christ, fear for the husband. You want to be pleasing in the sight of God, submit yourselves unto your own husband, Christian wife, as unto the Lord. And husbands, you want to receive praises from your Lord in your marriage, then love your wives as Christ loved the church. Don't ever take advantage of a submission. And when the Christian wife realizes and understands that I'm prepared to submit everything to my husband as if I'm submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then now she knows that my Christian husband will never take advantage of my submission. And to know that my Christian husband will never betray me, for she or he is prepared to give his life for me just as Christ gave his life for the church. She will feel very at peace. She will feel very secure and very safe. And the trust and the bond that you have that is sealed by your common love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have paradise in your home. You have a Christian home that the Lord is very proud of. But everyone who visits this home, they're going to see Christ. They're going to experience paradise. How much more it will be for your children who stays with you when your friends and loved ones who visit you can already feel and taste that wonderful God-given peace, the peace of God that can only come from the God of peace. And to see that, they always will want to come back to visit that home, and they long to have such a home themselves. And then they will depart, having visited your home with the peace of God in their heart. What a blessing it will be when you are awakened from your spiritual stupor and with God's help, build for yourself such a godly home that is a picture of paradise before the fall. That's why the Lord gave that instruction in verse 31 that parallels the same instruction that God gave to Adam and Eve when they were married by the Lord in the Garden of Eden before the fall in Genesis 2. So the question is, do you want such a home? It's in the hands and the responsibility of you, Christian husband. It's up to you. You want to begin? Begin with your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep it burning. Keep it hot. Keep it biblical. Let it be anchored in God's truth, the Word of God. And once that is done, the rest will follow. Once you are able to love the Lord Jesus Christ according to Scripture with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you'll be able to love your wife correctly. You'll be able to relate to your job correctly, to Christians correctly, to even your own enemies and God's enemies correctly. Every area of your life will fall into its biblical, Christ-centered place. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ desires for every Christian husband, for every Christian home in Sydney BP Church. The question is, do you want it for yourself and for your wife and for your family? God willing, when we look at our final fifth message, we will focus on how to have a Christian home. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Word of Life. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the revelation on how we can have a home that is like paradise, where the husband and the wife can exist and live together in love, in peace, in tranquility, as if they were living in paradise before the fall. We thank Thee, Father, that in Christ Jesus, You have helped us and made it possible, if only both the Christian wife and the Christian husband would conduct themselves and fulfill the role that You have set out for them. For the wife, the rule of submission, and for the Christian husband, the rule of love, a love that is patterned after the agape love of God in Christ Jesus, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself shown to us how he loved the church and gave his life for it, and how we need to do the same as we Christian husbands learn to love our wives. Help us, O Lord, to be good students of thy holy word, so that we can fulfill the role that you have revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. Give us home where Christ is head, where the word of God is obeyed, where our children will be able to see Christ in mom and dad, so that they could also come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior at the earliest age possible. And all this hinges on the Christian husband fulfilling his role. We pray, O Lord, for every Christian husband, that thou wilt place the fear of God in their hearts. And for all young men, if the Lord tarries, if they were to marry and set up their own home, may they do so also with the fear of God in their hearts to fulfill this role on how to be a Christian husband. For Jesus' sake, and in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.